Welcome back, guys. Fifth and last episode of our DevTeach Montreal 2016 pre-event web series session. So together we talked about the LLM processes, what it is, the concepts, the ideas, Visual Studio Team Services, general introduction, Microsoft Azure, the tools it provides. And then we had another episode about how you can automatically build your software using Visual Studio Team Services. And then the third episode was about release management and automated deployments. The fourth one was about testing and quality insurance. And the last one today is going to be about technical debt management and a small conclusion for our server, basically. So what is technical debt management? That's a good question. So I don't know if you had that issue before or that feeling before, but as a developer, sometimes you develop things and you write some code and you don't feel comfortable. It's itching, you want to go home and take a shower afterwards, code like that, but you really don't feel comfortable with, really. Mostly, it prevents us from innovating. When you have sentences in the company saying, oh yeah, we should implement this new feature, but if we do that, we have to redo this whole module because it's not working very great and it's not going to handle this and that and this. Well, that's also a sign of technical debt. Mostly, when you get a lot of support calls, it's all and specifically about one specific thing, right? It's a good indicator that that specific thing might have some technical debt because the code was poorly designed and or out of date, basically, and has to be redone or has to be improved. Overall, it's stressful for the team. We as developers like to be happy in our lives. We don't like to be stressed by bad code or things in production that might cause service interruption or money loss or anything like that. So all this technical debt is also a source of stress for the team, and as developers we want to tackle that because we want to be happy developers, basically. So what kind of solutions do we have? Well, we can rewrite everything every 2 years. Most of the companies actually do that. They say they go from version 1 to version 2 to version 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 4, and so forth. And that's basically what happens, but it's a huge waste of money. You can also do pair coding. Pair coding is great for many reasons. Pair coding is great to teach to juniors how to progress. It's great to transfer the knowledge about something, some specific thing in the applications between the developers. It's also great for technical debt because if something, some code is poorly designed, well, the other guy is going to see it and tell about it most likely. Or you can do static analysis either with a tool you have on your machine manually every time the tech lead or the branch manager or the release manager or the QA responsible, it falls between those guys most of the time, have some time, they do it. And then they have a huge report and they say, okay, we need to fix that, this and this and that. But again, it's time consuming, it's boring, and most of the time we don't do it because we simply don't have the time. So if it could be automated, wouldn't that be great? So that's what we're going to see today. And enough slides already, let's jump into the demonstration. The great thing I found about static analysis and automated static analysis is Sonar Cube with a Q instead of a C. So this is a product plus an open source project which is built by a company. And basically what it does, it allows you to set up a server, a Sonar Cube server, and you need to set it up. It's not held by Microsoft, works with those guys, but it's not made by Microsoft. So you need to set up your own server and to install everything. I'm working on blog posts and scripts, so the whole installation is done for you automatically. I'm not yet here, so hopefully it will come out during the months of end of June, beginning of July, something like that. And the idea behind that is you connect your build, and I'm going to show you how here. So first you add an endpoint here saying, okay, my Sonar Cube server is at that place, right? And here are the credentials and so on and so forth. Once you've done that, you edit your build to include two new steps. The first one being pull down the profiles, and the other one being do have an analysis and upload the results of that here. And so fetch the profile and then finish the analysis and upload everything, right? Once you've configured all those things, right, and the projects in Sonar Cube and so on and so forth, you will have this dashboard. So it does automatic technical debt management, like some code patterns not being respected, some weird conditions, some other stuff. They have a lot of rules to say, okay, this is good code, this is bad code, and it's going to help you identify where are the weak points in your software. And with those rules come estimated time to fix. So if you wanted to fix that particular issue, we think it's going to take you 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, right? And when you add all the issues with all the rules, with all the time it's going to take, they can give you an indicator of if you were to stop coding anything on your product and or your application or your software and say, okay, we are not shipping anything else, we're just fixing all the issues, it's going to give you this indicator, which is 9 days of technical debt. Which is a great indicator because the bigger it is, the easier it is to understand, it's going to get to be complicated to implement new features, do new stuff with your product, or ship it to more customers because you will have more support back or bad feedback and so on and so forth. So it this notation, the A plus the time to fix estimation, are both great indicators to tell that to a decider. So he is in control to say, okay, I want to invest on improving the quality either through testing, through improving the code and so on and so forth, or implementing new stuff. Now he has all the indicators it takes to make clear decisions about should we fix the code, should we implement new stuff, should we implement new QA processes, and so on and so forth. And when you go into the details, you will have the number of lines you have in your product, all the languages it has been able to analyze, the duplication of code, and also the details of the issues. And it's going to come like that. For example, here on this one, if you go to the detail, it will say, okay, you have here code being commented, which is a bad practice anyway. You don't want that into your code, right? Because it becomes a mess, it becomes difficult to read, and so on and so forth. So it says you should remove that so you don't have any more commented code. This is simple, but you have other ones which are a little more complicated, like the blocker ones, let's say. For this one, for example, if you take time to look at the condition, it's never going to be true because of not, and or the binary result of that condition is never going to be true. So we actually have a code, a bug here, what we should fix, and we would never have seen before unless some customer would have told us, hey, this thing doesn't work, so we're going to fix it. It tells you who made the commit on that line, who made the modification, and you can assign those things and so on and so forth, and it's great. It's basically free, you just need to install it, and then you can buy some plugins. So for example, they have funky charts about the debt and how it's localized in your projects and stuff like that. You can also run FX Cops, Style Cops, and ReShopper plugins with Sonar Cube. So basically, you're going to buy a license for those products, put your license into Sonar Cube, install the plugin for Sonar Cube for, let's say, ReShopper, and all together it's going to do automatic static analysis with your ReShopper plugin via Sonar Cube. So it's a great tool, and I hope we soon go live production in our case, because we're not yet in production in our office with that. All right, guys, it's already time to say goodbye and to finish this web series. I hope you had a very good time with me and listening to these videos. I had a very good time preparing those. This pre-series again was for the DevTech Montreal 2016. Make sure you guys check it out. There are still tickets available. It will be full of great speakers, MVPs, non-MVPs, talking about development in general, either languages, frameworks, tooling, technologies, or whatever. It's a great event. It's beginning of July 2016, so make sure you check this out. And I hope I will see you there. To conclude our web series, the overall benefits of DevOps processes and those implementations and continuous integration and so on and so forth is everybody saves a lot of time and focuses on providing value and not doing boring stuff. We have consistent builds, so every time we ship something, it's the same thing except the sources we change it, actually. We have automated tests, so we make sure our application, our software is performing properly, is performing fast enough, and so on and so forth. We have overall the quality increased, so we make sure we provide better value and better quality to our customers or our users. And overall, it will save a lot of money to the company because better feedback, better sales, less support actually, and lots of time saved for the whole team. So the company will make more money or save money. And that's a huge argument for designers. Thanks again, I hope you had a great time. If you have any questions, feel free to use the comments or ping me on Twitter, and hopefully see you in another web series. Bye-bye.